James Coe, who joins us now from Yahoo Sports. James, that NFC East, what do you make of what that division looks like? Because Dallas is starting to have their issues with their offensive line, and Philadelphia needs to solve their secondary.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's the weakest division in all of football. It's an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, you talk about the Giants. They're, you know, they've got Danny Dimes, a great nickname, but struggling over his last three games. Washington is an absolute train wreck. And what are you left with here? You're left with a 3-3 Dallas club. You're left with a Philadelphia Eagles team that, again, can't stop anybody through the air. It is by far, in my mind, the weakest division in all of football. And, you know, it's going to either be the Cowboys or the Eagles coming out of there. But, you know, I guess because of Doug Peterson, I wouldn't want to see the Eagles in the postseason. But, again, they've got so many holes to fill up, especially in that secondary, that I do think that they will be exposed.
Well, we're coming off the heels of that Jalen Ramsey trade, and you figure the Eagles be highly factored involved in that considering their struggles in the secondary. Okay, so they missed out on that. And we're heading closer and closer to the trade deadline. Is a name like Patrick Peterson, you think, is something that they should explore? Or are they going to do kind of like what the Saints did and say, Eli Apple, we'll spend a fifth-round pick to try to solve this issue?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, right? I mean, right now they're running guys literally off the street and trying to play them in their secondary, and it's just not working. You know, even if they could get, you know, as you mentioned, an Eli Apple-level player, it would help them a lot. But that being said, look, if you can get Patrick Peterson, you go and get Patrick Peterson. I mean, the guy's still balling out. People don't realize this because he's playing on a god-awful team and has been for the last few years, but the guy is still an absolute lockdown type defender. So, you know, we're talking about a defender that, you know, allowed less than 50% completion rate on him last year. The guy's still fantastic, and he's still got a lot of juice left. You know, so, and I would imagine, it's just human nature, that if he were to get on a contending team, I think you would see the best Patrick Peterson. I really do. And that's, I think that's a trade. Those are two trade partners that I think make a lot of sense.
When you look at the AFC, obviously the big news today with Patrick Mahomes going out last night with the injury, it seems like there's reason to be optimistic that it's not going to be season ending or anything like that, and that he'll end up playing for the Chiefs again this year. But outside of the Patriots and now, I mean, you would assume Kansas City with a healthy Mahomes, it really seems like that bottom tier right under them is wide open with teams like the Steelers and the Chargers that have had success in recent years not being quite the teams that we've seen before. Who do you see in the AFC outside of New England and Kansas City as being that third team that could challenge them for a hypothetical spot in the AFC championship game?
I really like what the Colts are doing, and I'm a Frank Reich stan. And for me, when we start talking about these teams, you know, I really start paying attention to coaching. And I just don't think teams that don't have good coaching staffs compete, and especially not against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I want to go back. First of all, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs will certainly be in the postseason. You know, the AFC West is a little bit downtrodden right now. But that being said, Patrick Mahomes makes so many plays out of structure, out of the pocket. Even if he comes back after 3 weeks with a dislocated kneecap, we're talking about a guy who's already dealing with an ankle injury, a dislocated kneecap now. How many plays can he make out of structure? I don't think it's going to be that many. I think this injury is a death knell to Kansas City, even if he plays. And I love Patrick Mahomes. I mean, his processing speed in the pocket is amazing. He's got an amazing arm. But let's be real here. So much of what KC's offense is out of structure. And I just don't see him being a very mobile quarterback, you know, this year. Hopefully he comes back next year and is good to go. But for this particular year, I don't see it. Not with a dislocated kneecap. So I don't know how the Patriots keep getting away with it. But the chips keep stacking up in their favor each and every single year. But if you are looking for a third team to potentially give them some problems, especially in the postseason, I really, really like what the Colts are doing. Their offensive line is nasty. They've got a good coaching staff. And Jacoby Brissett, look, the guy is an above-average quarterback. He's got a big arm, and he is learning this system, and Frank Reich and the boys got him moving in the right direction. I really, really like what the Colts got going on.
It's James Coe joining us, James D. Coe on Twitter from Yahoo, DirecTV, and Amazon Prime Video. James, I want to ask you, because you're mentioning you keep an eye out on coaching, and there's two guys that as coaches, only as coaches, I actually think they're pretty decent. Some of their in-game decision-making might be a bit flawed, but it's Bill O'Brien and John Gruden. Now, here they are, two teams that, you know, from a transactional point of view, we don't applaud the Raiders and we don't applaud the Houston Texans, but just from pure coaching, what do you see from these two guys? And I feel like they've done themselves quite a service here for the way those two teams have performed.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love John Gruden. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but I really like John Gruden. Look, he's scheming guys open, and right now, when you look at Derek Carr, he's getting the ball out quick. Now I get it; it's all short pass. It's all everything's around the line of scrimmage, and they really do want to, as they say, matriculate down the field. So they want, you know, there's not too many big chunk plays, and I get that. But to find Darren Waller off the scrap heap and turn him into a not only a viable tight end, but a good tight end, I think speaks a lot to the coaching staff and scheming ways to get him open. They're finding out what they've got with Derek Carr, and he's not that comfortable in the pocket, period. Ever since he had that, you know, leg injury, he's just never been a guy that's comfortable sitting back there and standing in and taking big hits to test the field down the field. So, you know, they've kind of sort of morph their offense to be this dink and dunk offense, this real traditional West Coast style offense, and Derek Carr's doing okay in that system. I could not disagree with you more on Bill O'Brien. I think he's one of the worst coaches in the NFL, and Houston, in my mind, has absolutely no chance in the postseason so long as Bill O'Brien is there. Look, they've got a franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson. He's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL over the last couple of years. He saw 62 sacks last year. It's completely unacceptable, completely and utterly unacceptable to have a coach have his quarterback and scheme him up so that he sits back there 5-7-step drops. It's completely and utterly, in my mind, unacceptable. And he has changed nothing. He's changed absolutely nothing from his offense. And Deshaun Watson, week in and week out, is getting murdered back there. And I think he's doing a huge disservice to his team, to his quarterback, to the NFL, because I love Deshaun Watson. I absolutely love him. But when we're talking about a coach who is supposed to be an offensive mind, you take Deshaun Watson out of there, the guy's never had a top 20 offense. And when Deshaun Watson is in that Texans offense, he's barely league average. So you've got a phenomenal, you know, MVP caliber quarterback, and you have a middle-of-the-pack offense. You take him off, it's an absolute disaster fire. So, I think Bill O'Brien is somebody who maybe he's a good O coordinator. I don't even know. But if he's supposed to be an offensive mind, I'm not seeing it on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, you talk about a coach that's maybe not putting his quarterback in a great position to succeed. Last night with the Denver Broncos, we've seen a management team go out and acquire a quarterback. And I mean, John Elway's obviously the big name there and has been the one putting his name behind these acquisitions, in the latest one being Joe Flacco, which looks to so far to just not be working at all. What can the Broncos realistically do about the quarterback position this season and really over the next couple of years?
I mean, the problem is talent evaluation at the quarterback position, which is funny to say because, you know, they've got one of the all-time great quarterbacks, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time in John Elway there. But you can't really blame them for not trying, right? I mean, they've thrown money at it. They've thrown draft picks at it.
Right.
And they just can't solve this quarterback issue. Look, everyone, I just don't understand. Every single person who covers football knew Flacco was toast. And yet, they still sign him as a veteran, you know, quarterback. And I get it. If the plan is to have a veteran quarterback kind of shepherd in a young quarterback that you're going to draft, I think that's a pretty good plan. The problem is, we saw what Joe Flacco was as a quote-unquote mentor to Lamar Jackson, which was not at all. He's the absolute last veteran quarterback you would want to mentor a young guy that you're trying to bring up through your system. So I thought the move was absolutely baffling. It's not a team that's built to win now. They've got some decent pieces in place. Like, I really like their wide receivers. Cortland Sutton, really developing. Emmanuel Sanders, great veteran leadership. I think Deshaun Hamilton has a pretty bright future. Their offensive line is a disaster. And Joe Flacco, clearly, yesterday. I don't understand how how tall is the guy? 6'5", 6'6", 6'7"? How does a 6'7 quarterback get that many balls tipped at the line of scrimmage? I mean, he looked like Kyler Murray out there. Like, I mean, come on, Joe Flacco. It's baffling, the moves that they have made at the quarterback position. And I think it all starts with talent evaluation, and clearly they're not very good at evaluating talent at the signal caller position.
He is James Coe. James, thank you very much for giving us some time here. You can catch him online at James D. Coe. Does a lot of work for Yahoo for the NFL. James, thanks a lot for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime.
Sportsnet 650.